Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, offering crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com.
This is the April 23rd edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists today include Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities from Newmarket, Indiana, Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, Jason Clapp from Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana, and Rich Nelson from Allendale out of McHenry, Illinois. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. Let's begin, as usual, with our list of topics to discuss. We'll start with you, Wayne Nelson.
Well, when is late going to become late as far as planning goes? We know we've got time that way. But the other thing is, how much influence is the dollar going to have over the next month? And why is crude oil rallying?
Let's stay with Nelson's. We'll switch from Wayne to Rich.
I think the U.S. dollar is going to be something there to look at. There's also no doubt with that. I would talk a little bit about the discount or lack thereof of South American crops versus U.S. in terms of pricing. And when that could or would change, I think that might be something else to throw in the mix as well.
Rich Nelson, of course, is with Allendale. He's out of McHenry, Illinois. Jason Clapp is with Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana. On your list today?
Some we've been trying to pay attention to a little bit here is our drought monitor so far this spring, and it's not really screaming or crying for where most of our listeners are going to be, but for the guys up in the Dakotas and Minnesota and Wisconsin and out in the general plain states, could add quite a bit of an influence potentially on what the corn yields or bean yields are out there here at the end of the year.
Well, probably about the only thing left is bird flu. But the guys did a real good job picking out some key items, which is a lot to go through. And there's some things to be watching here that could give the market some direction either way here.
All right. Bird flu, that's an interesting one. Let's chat a little bit about that because it's big news. It's gotten to be bigger news. National media has picked it up. However, there are 9 million birds total or thereabouts in the United States that have been infected to this point. 3.8 million of them at one facility in Iowa. That's a big facility. Is it the bird flu or is it the trade that's the problem with this?
Well, I would think it'd be a combination when you start seeing the overall flu epidemic start to spread and you start adding up numbers. It could add up in a hurry. I think, 11 birds will... broilers, that is, consumes maybe one bushel of corn, but when you start talking millions, if not billions of birds, it could ding feed demand if it doesn't get under control. But something really you need to keep an eye on is consumer confidence or the public's perception of this. That could really, get things going if they would get on board.
Rich, you've been doing some calculations on the numbers, I think. What do you see?
As far as the feed demand issue, we've got pegged right now, turkeys consuming about 149 million bushels of corn this year before the bird flu discussion. Egg-laying chickens, about 310 million. As I'm sitting here with the numbers, I'm trying to cut out maybe, in a worst-case scenario, about a 5% loss on this end. That only gives me about 15 million of corn and about from the egg side and about 7 for the turkey side. So at this point, it's in my opinion, so far, it's more of a hype story affecting on the grain end. In terms of livestock, we're certainly more concerned about the export side for chicken rather than any loss of turkeys or chicken.
Yeah, and at this point, I did some calculations, too, on the number of birds that are currently infected. Something I would guess, 7 to 9 million bushels over the four-month period that will be lost. So that would be now until, I guess it takes 4 months to repopulate those facilities. So we'll see how it goes. But it really is about trade in the end.
Yeah, the biggest thing is we're looking here at who is put embargoes on us that won't import the U.S. chicken or turkeys or eggs. And I know, you know, we've seen Russia, which that's not a big thing right now because we've got sanctions against them. But China and South Korea have started, and who else will it get in there? And that's going to be the big thing, because if our demand from overseas for export dries up on these things, then we're going to cut back on our bird herds, and that's going to hurt us more than anything.
And then Mexico was in too, Jason, I think, on that export or import ban. So really, we have to watch it.
Yeah. Last I saw, Mexico was being specific. I think they were just targeting birds out of Iowa and eggs out of Iowa. But even here I read today, looks like the news has popped up. I think Minnesota governor has posted a state of emergency, you know, kind of the same way that Wisconsin's governor did here a few years ago regarding this bird flu deal. So, but out of our shop, you know, again, going back to those numbers that were thrown out earlier, we really kind of think this is going to be kind of a flash in the pan headlines thing. We'll probably talk about it now, but we're probably at the apex of the situation. Unless the stuff continues to spread state by state, you know, chances are at the end of the summer, we probably aren't even talking about this. So,
well, one thing you reminded me, since you said flash in the pan, this week they did pick a trader up in the United Kingdom who they believe is responsible for the flash crash of 2010. I know you all had to live through that. I don't want you to lay judgment down, but that was a difficult situation, and it's hard to believe that one guy could manage to pull off all of that with just his own knowledge of the way the marketplace moves, I suppose, but looks like it was possible.
Cyberterrorism is what that amounts to. And I think we're seeing it every day, the way they do the icebergs, the whole bit. And it is damaging the Board of Trade and how we look at it. We look at our waterfalls on the screen, and we see these, and there's big numbers there, and all of a sudden they go through them, they're gone. The volume doesn't pick up for what that looked like there. It is something that they really need to look at. I mean, it's a whole lot worse than a lot of the other things going on out there.
All right, Wayne, you went exactly where I thought maybe you all might go, but you'll need to explain some of the terms for those who aren't brokers. So what you're looking at in terms of, okay, explain the icebergs and the waterfalls.
Okay, the waterfalls is such as you're looking at, and you can see how many trades are offered to sell and buy, or how many contracts are there on a screen that's running there, being it is all computer that way. There will be times it will pop in there, and at a certain level there'll be 500 to buy, 600 to buy, and you think that should be pretty good support. And you go down there, and all of a sudden they'll trade through it, and you think, how'd we go through it so fast? But you look over at the total volume for the day, and it only increased by 3, not 500. And that's because with these new programs that these algorithmic traders have, that they can, after the first two are filled, the others are canceled. You know, we talked, and one of the brokers used to say on the floor, when you held up your hand with 100 to sell out there, and guy said, I'll take it, you had all 100. There wasn't any cutting back after that if you offered it out there. But these computers have found a way to do it. And it's a very sort of false attitude or atmosphere out there that causes, just like the flash crash, it can drive the market up and down quite hard.
All right, so let's come back to what's at hand. Maybe we should take up acreage. We're not late, of course, in planting, though, as we talked before the beginning of the show, just kind of got a feel for where planting was in each of our areas. And for the most part, the only place that has moved quickly is in the Decatur to Springfield to Jacksonville area, at least in our part of the world, Illinois, Indiana. And there's a lot of rain, and it's pretty cold. Does that tell you anything about acreage and changes? And does the market tell you that it needs to move more to soybeans still? We were talking about that, but not convinced. At least USDA has not been.
Well, at this point in time, you know, it's going to be regional. It's probably a little bit more serious or a little bit more concerned further south, in particular, you know, Tennessee or some of those southern states where they're, you know, they're fighting the clock a little bit more than we are. But it's April, late April. It's not mid-May yet, so there's still time. You take southern Illinois, Indiana, up the Ohio River Valley, you know, that's going to be watched closely from here on out. But come next week, I believe we're probably going to be a 17-20% planted as a nation, you know, if not higher. So there's still time, and there's still a lot of forecast to watch yet.
Rich Nelson, I know you guys have a pretty far reach across the Midwest. What are you hearing from clientele?
know, a lot of discussions here in the Eastern Corn Belt reflecting exactly what we've talked about here. Our Western Corn Belt farmers are telling us very clearly a lot of them are concerned about these about the lack of rain. Maybe once you get as far west as Nebraska, and certainly discussions that were held previously about the northern areas, the border states as well, some concern there. On the acreage side, we've got, I want to say, a normal tendency, 11 of the past 15 years, usually increase about 1 million corn acres from the March intentions to what's actually planted in June. And we normally do, of course, drop bean acres. So that's our bias right now is, of course, more corn, less beans. And like you guys said here, this all, of course, does depend if we get an active planting here over the next 2 weeks, which so far we think will happen.
Will we be able to take a cue on that from a primary planting area, the fourth largest planting state, Minnesota, which is well ahead, maybe Minnesota in the northern part of Iowa. But Minnesota is well ahead of planting on many things, and they look like they've got some open season to run tractors there. Will we see more corn acres go in that part of the world?
I certainly think so. Myself as well, I certainly feel that we've got these, a lot of farmers up there have been maybe discouraged a little bit by some late harvest for corn last couple of years, but as a whole, I think if you give these guys a good open field, open planting time frame like this, I think they will push a little more corn rather than beans in this case.
All right, let's come right back to marketing, and I want to talk about old and new crop because now we're in the midst of planting. Producers will be busy if they're not already in the field. Their bin doors have been shut, but there's an awful lot of old crop corn in the marketplace, Jason, and I don't know what you're telling producers they ought to do, but I suspect you're urging them to pry the door open at least
yeah.
Send some of it down the road.
Essentially, for old crop, it's don't get out of the truck. Just go back, load up, take it to the elevator, and keep going, mainly because we don't want to run into the prospects of a really good growing season and then wind up at the end of the summer with a bunch of corn left. You know, that's just almost a recipe for disaster if you can pull it off anymore. Plus, you know, you look around here, we've still got some really decent basis numbers to take corn to. You know, these processors are telling guys that, hey, you know, you can't just cut us off cold turkey. We've got to have X amount of corn a day to grind. So, you know, those are definitely some things that we can take advantage of here, even if you don't like what the futures are doing. But on the flip side, you know, selling grain and buying call options, you know, with the low volatility and just flatline markets, call options are a really cheap, really easy way to re-own this market if you just can't stand to let go of it.
Any success getting them to actually run the truck?
Yeah, I think our guys have been pretty active in it. And, you know, that's, you know, we talk about farming being a regional thing. Yeah, that can also be a regional thing because I could tell you of a couple areas, you know, southern Indiana, southern Illinois that probably don't.
Right.
To a fair extent, but it seems like around here for, you know, 80% of our clientele, yeah, they've been pretty active in keeping stuff moving. So
interestingly enough, you're probably in one of those, I'm not going to call it a corn deficit area, but if you look at the maps where payouts were made for crop insurance, you and then across the northern part of Indiana would be one of those areas, parts of northern Illinois. Maybe we can understand this. And then in that Minnesota, central Minnesota, north central Iowa region too. So, and basis levels are really strong in some of those places.
Yeah, just from the places I track here, and I've got a few ethanol plants in Indiana. The one I used to work at in Illinois, I still track them actively. You know, they're still... that's really telling you the picture of what the corn market should be doing is, you know, those guys have a demand to keep the product moving and they're going to reflect it in their basis. So that's definitely the thing to pay attention to here, especially as more guys quit driving trucks and start driving tractors.
You're near an ethanol plant. How are things moving there?
It seems pretty hit or miss. We had this rain event move through here last week, and I noticed that their basis dropped quite a bit, so you saw quite a bit of farmers selling. When they weren't in the fields, they could haul corn. But here, there, you know, even around the state, it seems like a few of them have just started he can perking back up again. So you can tell guys would rather go farm than haul grain right now.
Well, Linden has kept a pretty strong basis, Todd. They've hung in there quite well, and they're grinding every day and while they can grind. But you can just go down to Cloverdale, and Poets are taking corn about 3 days a week, and they're not hanging in there. They're calling different people as they go along. So there's been a lot of guys that have had trouble, you know, keeping hauling if they'd booked it into Poets down there. But our basis has been fairly good.
Now, I've been picking up, you know, a lot of guys through our areas wanting to just sit and hold, especially until they get off the planter, and whether that stimulates the movement or not. But quite a few guys have got some cash to work with, and they're just bound and determined to hang on through here and see what happens. I agree with what Jason says, but my fear is we'll have a tsunami of corn come August or September when realization sets in.
So maybe a slow slide, or they might have opportunity between then and now, but don't hang on that long?
Well, there's going to be some opportunity, hopefully. We'll have some type of weather concern or some flash drive to the upside, hopefully, to generate some pricing opportunities. But you've got this big chunk of corn over the market, but yet you got some decent demand in the market. So we'll probably continue to do what we've been doing up and down for a while.
Rich Nelson, your view on this one?
I certainly agree with the main points here made. Basis actually does have a good push for right now. This is the key time frame to move corn here. And typically we drop about 10 to 15 cents going into that May-June time frame. So I think as far as cash corn, yes, certainly move the product. Though basis seasonally tightens up for beans from here on out, I don't think I'd want to play that game, certainly with the potential of a break on the board here in front of us.
On beans?
On beans, yes.
Beans, I saw probably the most fascinating presentation on social media today. Dan Zwicker, I think he got about 4 o'clock this morning to put together a presentation. He had a July bean chart. It's nice, crisp. It was color-coded. And he had that on there, and he had a little box in the bottom when he was explaining his presentation. But technically, beans is in a position here where possibly it could go to $9.99, if not $10.45 over time, according to what the technical charts look like. This was so impressive. If there was an Academy Award nomination for commodity chart presentations on social media, he would win it hands down.
Wait. So did you believe him?
Oh, he sucked me in. Hook
Academy
sinker.
Award. A lot of people watched it. Didn't you see the market in beans today?
You know what? Okay. So Dan talked about that on Thursday during the closing market report. I'll put a link at willag.org someplace so it's easy to find. I should be able to just actually post it directly into the website. I haven't looked to see whether that's possible from CGB. I can't imagine it's not. If not, I'll direct you to the right link so you can go find it and watch that chart. Because it is interesting to see those charts, and he explains a number of things. In fact, when I talked to him on Thursday, I had to ask him to explain a Golden Cross. Because he mentioned that in the crude oil, and I know we mentioned that on occasion. So it's always fun to watch the technicals because they do have a daily impact in the marketplace. Okay, we're with soybeans. I kind of wanted to know what you're thinking about old crop, Wayne Nelson.
The old crop, fortunately, most of the people in our area are out of old crop beans. We're looking ahead that way. But the old crop beans, everybody in our area is down to gambling stocks. And we're going to see whether they do actually put all the extra acres of beans up before they get rid of the farmers. They're very tight holders of them. Our processing plants over there run full blast early and run full blast all along for crushing for meal. So they're having trouble finding beans, and the basis is staying very tight at the crushers.
Everybody's out of old crop beans, but I suspect they have all their new crop beans to
sell.
They got
most of their new crop beans.
And what do you do with those?
Well, I think there's been a couple things along the way. If you haven't got some sold early, we did go ahead and sell some $11 calls out there. And I think along the way here, we're looking for a little bit of a pop to try to get back towards $10 and get some moved.
Okay. So while we talked about the old crop and the Academy Award that Zwicker may have gotten out of that, but did you believe him enough to think that there would be a pop in the new crop to go along with it?
Well, I believe it enough that if you're sold up, which most guys are, it might do a little bit of cash replacement on some options in case something does get fired up so you can recapture a little bit to the upside. As far as new crop goes, I think you got to have some type of price floor. You can sell a call, buy a put, or do a put or put spread or something, because when it's all said and done, if this weather's favorable, the risk is still to the downside going into this fall.
Jason?
Yeah, we've been working on protecting downside, mainly to start with. We want to go to the elevator first with new crop stuff just because it costs so much to do option strategy with beans. So, you know, most of our guys, we've talked in all winter and again all spring about putting different various hedges on place. And, you know, the variety of stuff that we've got on our books is vast, but, you know, just getting some type of a program in place is probably an important part.
What are we hearing at this point? Let's switch crops to wheat. And Jason, maybe I can have you bring this, talk a little bit about this. What are we hearing about the condition of the soft red winter wheat crop, and then how maybe the hard red has fared over the last couple of weeks? It's gotten some rainfall, at least. Maybe it's in better condition than it had been.
Sure. As far as the soft red goes, and following along with what the USDA has been saying, the wheat crop's supposed to look better than it did last year at this point in time. And I would say around here, driving back and forth to the farm and from a few people that I've talked to that have some, it looks decent. We've got an agronomist down in the panhandle of Texas now. She just started with us here not too long ago, and she said their wheat crop has been getting some really, really beneficial rains down in the Texas panhandle and Oklahoma panhandle. And if you follow the drought monitor, it's been reflecting you know, those types of rains here over the last couple of weeks too. So don't really look for wheat conditions to slip too much over the next couple of weeks unless we just turn off the rain, and that doesn't look like it's going to be the case either.
Has she talked to you any about Texas corn planting and how it's been progressing?
Where she's at tends to take a little bit slower pace. We do have a farmer down in Corpus Christi. He is completely done planting, but he said that farmers south of him haven't turned a wheel and haven't planted anything, and they don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
He actually made the comment that for those guys, they've had three crops worth of rain, and the problem is it's keeping them from doing this crop. So,
I suppose in their area they might be happier with that than they would be normally with the dry conditions.
Right, worked with for a while. Talking with them with their options, they were talking pretty serious about some prevent plant and just saving the rain for the next year.
Any indication on this stripe rust? It's starting to show up in Kansas. Did your agronomist mention any of that, Jason?
No, she doesn't go that far north and doesn't talk to anybody up in there that's where that's been. And I haven't heard much to do about it either, aside from just a headline here or there. So,
all right. So since we've talked about her enough, we probably ought to give her a name and give her her due. So
sure. Alicia Hedrick with Horizon Ag Consulting.
All right. Thank you so much. Okay. So let's say, Rich, kind of a final roundup from you about your thoughts on the marketplace, what producers should really be thinking in the next week, maybe before they actually get into the field.
I guess my general tone of thinking right now is that we probably are going to see some more sloppy trade over the next few weeks as we get this crop planted. And in my opinion, we probably won't see any major moves until we get some good emergency and actually see the crop come out and make the market realize we can plant a crop and we can grow a crop again. So as far as that goes, I think we'll have some sloppy trade next couple weeks here in front of us. But the biggest issue before we get the planters rolling across the nation, very clearly, think about some marketing, think about some marketing, some old crop. And also, let's be realistic about some new crop potential downside, as well as there is going to be some weather scares this year, and have some plans in place before they actually happen here.
And Rich Nelson, of course, is with Allendale. He's out of McHenry, Illinois. Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois.
No, I agree with Rich heartily. I think that's a good observation. I think one needs to keep that in mind and above all, be safe out there.
And Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities from Newmarket, Indiana.
Well, I'm not going to fight the trend here. I'm going to tell you that this week we went and sold a $5 call and bought a 350 put for even money at the beginning of the week, and I don't think that's a bad idea. I don't mind selling $5 corn. If it goes way down, why, we got to put in place for free. So that's one of the things we're doing.
It would be tough if you thought that was a bad idea and you actually followed through with it. Okay, Jason Clapp, Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana.
Sure, to get away from the grains, it may not hurt to take a look at some energy prices. You know, may be a good opportunity to lock in some fuel prices before or if you're worried about this thing taking off, crude oil to the high side. And also, we've heard of a couple really good deals on LP. So if your LP tanks are empty, think about next fall.
All right. Thanks so much, Jason Clapp, of course, with Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. And that wraps up this edition of Commodity Week.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at agrigold.com.